Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FCN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Always a pleasure. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me here today. I see some people here live in our FTN YouTube channel. Smash the like button. We got a lot more madness to get to here today. It is Madness Week here at FTN. We have a lot going on over at our FTN YouTube page, over at FTNBets.com. A lot of great madness content. And I think I got a pretty sharp mind here with us today. Yesterday, we kicked off the madness talk with our very own Frank Brank. Today, we are bringing in Walter Waddell. He is the host of the CBB Super Show, which is absolutely fantastic to watch and listen. Always great analysis. Last night, I believe Walter went solo by himself late last night, breaking down the bracket and his thoughts. It's available for free over at FTN, our YouTube page. But I wanted to bring him on here and kind of pick his brain. Of course, we're going to run through region by region here with him, get his thoughts, bring up the futures board with him, see who he's really feeling, get a Final Four from him, maybe a winner. But I also really, I wanted to dive into just the 7-10, 6-11 matchups. We usually see some upsets. Now, I call them upsets. We're going to bring up a couple boards with the matchups. And really, they're basically all the matchups are pick-ems. But for the most part, we see, this is where for me, when I put together my bracket, now, I'm a loose college basketball fan. You guys have heard me before. I watch all the Jayhawks games. I watched all championship week. I'm not going to miss a game here in the tournament. I'm going to be glued. You know, bets are going to be flying, brackets, all that stuff. But I struggle with the 7-10, 6-11 matchups in particular. I struggle with those. The 7 seed since 2010 is 26-18. The 11 seed since 2010, 23-21. 104-60 all time for the 6 seed, but the 11 seed has the edge over the last 10 years or so. And even the 5s, right? Like, no 5 has ever won the tournament before. I think Auburn a couple years ago came close. I believe they were in the Final Four in 2019, but no 5 seed has ever won. Does Walter feel like a 5 seed potentially could go on a run? Does he like some upsets? So we're going to help. He's going to help us hopefully fill out the bracket. And there's no excuse for you guys not to have a March Madness bracket. Over at FTNBets.com, we are running a free March Madness tournament challenge where all you need to do is sign up for an FTN Bets account. You don't need to, and that's free to do. You don't need to, you know, ante up with us. We would love you to be part of the FTN fam. You get all the college picks throughout the tournament. You're going to get articles. You're going to get the Discord channel. You also get the NHL picks. MLB futures are flying. Josh Gross is betting on college baseball. I don't even know what he's throwing out there, but the guy's winning units all the time, over 100 units in tennis. You get all the picks, golf picks. Shout out to our golf crew who is all over Cameron Smith yesterday. What a dart on 17. I easily get sidetracked in March with all the sports, and we give all the picks over at FTNBets.com. But here, first place, $1,000. That's U.S. Second place, $350, and third, $150. I have to say U.S. for my Canadian friends north of the border, because $1,000 U.S. is a nice chunk of change. So no excuse. Head on over to FTNBets.com. Free to enter. The link is inside the description of this video, so check that out as well. So again, no excuse really not to sign up for this, and good luck to everybody out there. You still have a couple days to officially sign up and make your picks, and Walter's going to hang out with us here in a little bit. Dub Deuces 85 on the Twitter machine, and we are going to run through the regions and get his thoughts on some upset picks as well. Also, something pretty cool that we've plugged here over at FTN over the past couple of days is the QR code. If you're watching here on Game Plus Network, even on YouTube, the YouTube channel, scan me. Go ahead and scan that code, and it's going to bring you to sportsbooks that are available in your area. A lot of sign-up codes, a lot of things happening in the sports world, especially, I mentioned those north of the border, a lot of sportsbooks coming to your area very soon. Of course, we touch on Bet365, a little bit of Cool Bet. You got some Bodog in there, Bovada, but soon we're going to have like Points Bet. Got some exciting stuff to talk about when it comes to Points Bet pretty soon. Also, FanDuel, DraftKings, all those sports books coming over here north of the border. Those hanging out with us live, I got to give a shout out to some of the guys that have really supported this show, and Dangle Betselli, which is live 11 games on the ice tonight in the NHL. Eric Young and I tried to break it down in under an hour. I think we just went a touch over. We had a question about like a steel cage match between Austin Matthews and Eric Young. We had some fun with that. Who do you guys think would win that match? No sticks allowed. No sticks allowed, Austin. I think we're all leaning with EY on that one. But Adam Rankamp in the house. I see the picture, your YouTube picture. I believe that's with you and the Stanley Cup. That seems like a pretty cool picture. Johnny Eck is in the house. Hi, guys. Who knocks Duke out? These are the kind of questions I am here for. This is what I want to know, honestly. Like, it's not just going to be a chalky run. Like, we could sit here and talk about Zaga all we want, right? Number one seed, second year in a row, 23 times tournament appearance, number one seed five times, I believe, in the school history. We know that they're really good. Who could really push them and knock them out? Maybe it's nobody. Maybe Walter doesn't think that anybody's going to knock off Zaga. But who's going to knock off Duke? Duke always seems to be one of those teams, right, that gets overhyped. I like their squad, of course. I like their squad every March for the most part. But you know what? They just haven't really been able to get it done lately. So who's going to be that team? I'm here for these kind of questions. Tino chimes in and says, Duke always beats themselves. Adam's got a question for Walter. Do you bet player props this weekend? All these things I am absolutely here for. Mike, don't be so hard on yourself, sir. You are not done. He said he watched Angle Betselli and thought he was done for the day, and now he's in live here on Mean Street. So we do appreciate you. That's it for now in the first block. We also will bring in Tino. We will talk about some of the free agent stuff that's happening, not just in the NFL, but Major League Baseball. We're still keeping our eyes on some things. Freddie Freeman, I mean, some reports, if you believe Carlos Baerga, he said, I believe on his Instagram account, that he thought Freddie Freeman was going to sign with the Jays, and he was going to sign with the Jays today. Baerga, that is. We'll see how that goes down. The Jags are spending money. They are spending money. Christian Kirk is the third highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Christian Kirk. Good on you, Jacksonville. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more on Mean Streets. But Walter's in here next. We got some madness talk, and we are seeking for some upsets. Keep her locked. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back to Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. We had some technical difficulties here on my end, Walter. That's my bad. You're still hanging out. It is actually not snowing north of the border, which those in the chat do believe that it is. It's a beautiful day here. The power just went out randomly. So if you're watching on Game Plus, you're like, wait, there was no technical difficulties. We carry on here on the show. And we do have Walter Waddell. He is the host of the College Basketball Super Show. You guys are absolutely grinding. I don't know, dude, if you even got any sleep last night, because you did the show solo and you did it late. Dub Deuces 85 on the Twitter machine. We appreciate you, dude, man. Thanks for taking the time here today.
Yeah. First, I want to say thank you for saying my last name right. That's something that rarely happens. So points on good on you for that. But we do right now during this time sleep, you know, like John Rothstein says, we sleep in May. So I'm just doing, you know, nightly shows right now on the DFS betting and prize picks and all that side with Mike Kutry all the time. So we just grinding away.
Yeah, you're killing it. Not going to lie, I thought it was Waddle, but then like Waddell, you probably get some Waddell, right? Do you get some Waddell in your life?
Well, what is Waddell?
You get some Waddle in your life.
Yeah.
You get some Waddle.
Yeah,
like, yeah, how do guys, definitely. Now yeah, you got yeah. me all
like
messed.
Whole, but like the whole substitute teacher thing, like, you know, Waddle, and then everyone, you know what I'm saying? So I really appreciate you on that because you nailed it.
I just butchered it, but I had nailed it earlier. And I watch your show too. I mean, you're killing it, right? Obviously, the insight is off the charts. I'm encouraging everybody to check it out. Like, this is the time of the year where not only like is March Madness fun, but you know, March is just awesome to be a sports fan anyways, right? I mean, if you follow the Big Four, you got the push in the NHL and the NBA, and then everything is happening free agency-wise and MLB and NFL as well. Plus, this madness is awesome. I want to roll through the regions with you, get your thoughts, maybe Final Four at the end, take a look at the futures. But really, I wanted to dive into you, just like some sleeper teams, some upsets. You know, that's the 6-11 matchups, the 7-10. I know you have a couple maybe upsets outside of those matchups that you're looking at as well, but yeah. This is the part of the bracket that always just, I mean, that's the red line across my bracket, dude. These are the tough ones for me to kind of hammer home. Let's bring up the 7-10 matchups. I said to you last night, and I tweeted it out just before the show went live here, that the 7 seed is 26-18 since 2010. Now, even looking at these matchups, Walter, I mean, we got to pick them here. We got Michigan State, 1-point favorite, Murray State against, I guess this is your team, San Fran, -1.5. And then USC, -1.5 as well. Give a lot of love to Miami yesterday. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. But really, we could call these upsets all we want. Yeah. Technically, I guess they would be if the 10 beats the 7. But what do you make of these matchups? Is there one in particular, maybe a team that you feel strongly about that you would back them, maybe not just to win one game, but maybe go on a bit of a run?
Yeah, so like you said, they're technically upsets, but easily, you know, the 10 could be the 7 in these matchups. So the Michigan State Davidson game's interesting because I think Michigan State's a little over seated here. I heard Frank say the same thing yesterday. This is an interesting game though, because it's what we call the Foster Lawyer Bowl. Foster Lawyer used to be on the Spartans. Now he's on Davidson. So we kind of have that narrative, you know, if you are picking in the brackets and you're looking for narrative. So that's interesting. I like them to actually beat Michigan State. And I like a lot of the 10 seeds in general. I think the only 7 I do like to win out of these 4 is Murray State against the Dons. I'm a little upset that Murray State and San Francisco have to play each other so early. You know, those are two kind of darling mid-majors, but Murray State just has some really strong players on their team with KJ Williams down low, who can really kind of compete with anyone. They have really solid guard play with Tevin Brown, Justice Hill. So I actually could see them potentially giving Kentucky a really, you know, run for their money type of deal in the second round. Not sure if I'm going to pick it yet, but it wouldn't shock me to see them get hot and actually, you know, compete with Kentucky in that stage and beat them. So I do like Murray State there potentially. And then, yeah, I'm all over Miami. A lot of the USC guys, or a lot of people, are picking USC and talking them up quite a bit, but they don't really have the bigs to kind of take care of Miami. I mean, my Isaiah Mobley gets a lot of hype, but he's not his brother, Evan, who's in the NBA now. He prefers to kind of, you know, float out to the 3-point line at times, and he's kind of more of a finesse player. And I think that Miami's guard play, which you need in March, his guard play is much stronger than USC's. So I do like Miami to win that game, and I don't think it's going to be particularly close. I'm not saying it's a blowout, but I don't think USC is going to be in control very often.
Nice. And I agree. And I, like I said off the top, and I told you, I'm a loose college basketball fan. I haven't watched Miami all that much, but I love the guard play. I think that they can score. And this is the first time in the tournament in a few years, but I really do have a lot of respect of, you know, what they have to offer for sure. There was a question here from Adam Rankamp, and keep the questions coming, guys, because Walter, this is the guy that will answer them all for you. And again, if you're watching the replay, you can leave them there. I'll circle back on this video, check in with Walter for any questions that you guys do have. There was one on that San Fran Murray State under, two good defenses. Would you lean potentially with that under? I'm looking for it here on the fly on what the total is.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what that number
found
is.
Found it just
hand.
Yet, but I will find it here in a second.
Yeah. So while you're looking for it, that definitely will trend towards a little bit of a lower scoring game, especially in the first half. Like a first half under in that looks like, it, you know, depending on what the number is, would be strong.
137.
137. Okay. It's close with the guard play for both teams. I think that we could see it, you know, towards the end, you know, trend towards being kind of one of those situations where we're seeing a lot of fouls at the end, free throws, matching bucket from there. San Francisco has a Jamari Bue and Khalil Shabazz as their guards, very strong scorers, obviously Tevin Brown on the other side. So I actually would probably at 137, I don't think I would touch it, maybe like a first half under, but I just feel like at the end here, we're going to see it like that 2-minute, you know, period where everybody's getting fouled every 3 seconds and we're seeing a lot of free throws. And if you bet the under, you may be, you know, pacing a hole in your floor with that happening. So I think I would probably stay away from that number.
Okay. Let's switch over to the 6-11. So 6-11, same sort of deal. Overall, 104-60 all the time for the 6 seed, but since 2010, it's been basically, you know, I mean, 11 seed has the edge, a slight edge, 23-21. You see the matchups here. We still don't know yet who Alabama is going to play. Texas, 1-point favorites here against Virginia Tech. You got Colorado State, Michigan, 2.5, and then LSU, 4-point favorites here over Iowa State. Did I read last night correctly? You were up late. You were doing the show. Is there some sort of travel issue happening here with Colorado State? This is supposed to be, I believe, the first game on the board on Thursday. I thought I saw last night that they just didn't know yet what time they were traveling. Is that correct? Am I putting you on the spot? Am I just dreaming about college basketball travel? What's going on here?
You're right. Yeah, several teams are having this issue to where NCAA is just not actually giving their itinerary to teams 2 days in advance like they normally do. So Colorado State had no idea when they were leaving the first game. They were going to put in a request, and it was all over Twitter that they were going to put in a request to move their game back. And as soon as that happened, magically they got their itinerary and flew out actually this morning, like 9 a.m. Colorado time. So they're on the plane and good to go now. But there are several other teams that are experiencing that same issue for Friday as well. So something to monitor.
Oh, man. And that's a little bit of a disadvantage, is it not? I mean, it kind of throws your whole routine into, I mean, not only with the time difference, but you want to get there ahead of time. What I read last night is that they didn't even know when they were going to practice or really kind of prepare for the game. It's a little bit of a disadvantage. Looking at those matchups, same sort of question when we were looking at the 7-10. Any 11 seeds jump out at you?
Yeah, so I'm actually probably very contrarian from the public because there's a few 11s that I like, and starts with Virginia Tech, who I'm really high on. And it has nothing to do with the fact that they won their conference tournament. My current Final Four, because I feel like they have a Final Four run in them. And, you know, you saw it last year with UCLA making this run from the play-in game to the, you know, deep in the tournament. We see it all the time, you know, UConn with Kemba Walker a few years ago. So teams that are hot during this point, they have just, you know, they're riding that and they have all the tools. So Virginia Tech has very strong guard play, very good. Everyone like knows their role. They have bigs who can step out and hit threes in Kiva Luma and Justin Mutz. They can bang down low. So they have that on lock. They all can hit threes, very strong 3-point shooters in general. Obviously a tougher spot with Texas. I know a lot of people like Texas, Chris Beard, but they've really underperformed this season. Their team that they put together never fully gelled. They lost Trey Mitchell, you know, from the program, somebody they were expecting a lot out of. So I do like Virginia Tech to pull that out. And if they can, and they get that second round matchup with Purdue's pretty tough to in the pick and roll, and they don't defend the three very well. Like if Virginia Tech got hot, like I could suddenly see them as an 11, you know, into the second weekend. And I feel pretty confident about that. I think probably one of the few who does and beyond. And then as far as like Michigan's being favored against Colorado State, it's kind of a bummer. I love Colorado State as a mid-major junkie, low major. I pay attention to these teams like Longwood and UAB, and I love watching all these teams. So that's a pretty unfavorable matchup for them with Hunter Dickinson, Mo Diabate. The bigs for Michigan will probably control that. So I do feel Colorado State's in a bad spot. And then on the other side, Alabama, I think, is very susceptible to being upset by the play-in game winner, which I do think is Rutgers at this point. So Kutry loves me for that because, you know, he's a big Rutgers guy. they have the interior offense and the shot makers and the elite on-ball defenders to really make a run. If they get past Notre Dame, which they should, bigs versus Alabama has been a play that we always talk about in DFS circles and use, and they just aren't able to defend the post very well. So Rutgers has the makeup in their roster and chemistry to knock off Bama, which would probably be shocking for some, but I could see them winning a game and then probably lose to Texas Tech, but at least beat Alabama. So I do have a couple of 60s dropping out here. The LSU Iowa State game is a really tough one to peg. That game is really confusing to me. That matchup is two teams who are, you know, obviously LSU just lost their coach for all that stuff that's going on. Iowa State's kind of limped on here towards the end of the season after a hot start. So that one's a little bit harder for me to pick, but I feel pretty confident about the other three.
It does seem like you like Virginia Tech quite a bit. Purdue, Frank came on here yesterday and gave a little bit of love to Purdue. And then there was some comments in the chat about their defense and whatnot. But you think maybe Virginia Tech could not only just upset here in the first round, but maybe win two or three games?
This
is what I'm here for, Walter. This is what, man, I'd like to know. Like, give me the 11s and the 10s or the 12s maybe that could potentially go on some sort of run. This is the team.
We love it. Chaos, man. I'm contrarian in DFS, and then my bracket's going to be very contrarian too. So, I mean, Purdue, like I said, their pick and roll defense is pretty atrocious. Their offense, obviously, we know is great. They have Jaden Ivey. They have Trevion Williams, Zach Edey. They have good players, great players even. But that defense, I think, is going to be a problem for them because if they run into a hot shooting team like a Virginia Tech, I just don't know how they defend that. So, I have them dropping out in the second round. Could eat my words, but I'm planting my flag with the Hokies.
You know, there's something to be said about maybe being a little bit contrarian with these brackets, of course. Like, there's nobody's ever going to go perfect, but like in our contest over at ftmbets.com, I plugged it off the top. It's a free bracket to get in. There's $1,500 in prizes. First 1,000, 350 second, and third place is going to get $100. Let's hang on to that thought, because South Dakota State is one of those trendy upset picks where it feels like everybody is going to be on them. I think you're leaning the other way, but again, something to be said about being contrarian, going the other way with that flashy upset pick. So hang on, Walter. I want to run through the regions with you quickly, maybe get like an Elite Eight or some sort of deal when we talk through these regions. And I got a futures board here that I'd like to share with you as well. Just get your final four picks. So more March Madness talk here on Game Plus Network. Hopefully no technical difficulties. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Hang tight. Chris Meaney and Walter Waddell here of FTN Bets. We are running through the March Madness bracket. We are going to go through region by region here with Walter. We have the sharp mind and the artist in the house. Says Dub Deuces can't be in the FTN tournament. There's no way he's going to be able to win or let me copy his bracket. be able to split the cash with him. Am the artist in there. Again, check out FTNBets.com. Get in our free a bracket, a challenge. We went through the 7-10, 6-11. So I just want to kind of get your thoughts quickly through each region here. Let's start with the South. We got Zaga as the number one overall seed, second year in a row here. Actually, we're going with Arizona here at the number one seed. I get my regions mixed up here. So we're starting with the South. Arizona up at the top at the one. A lot of love for Houston yesterday from Frank on this show. A little bit of love for Illinois to get that first win. Man, I really like Tennessee. Again, I said it yesterday. I think that they're just in a great groove. I think you can easily make a case for them to be the number two seed. You are the college expert. Get your thoughts on that. Villanova in here too. A lot of strong teams in here, Walter.
Yeah, no, this region definitely has a lot of teams that could come out, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least. I also, like you, I'm a pretty big fan of Tennessee to come out here.
Nice.
Their roster from top to bottom is very strong. They have, you know, not one good point guard, but two solid point guards that they can run. They are both freshmen, but they play above their years. They have the defensive capabilities to shut down opposing bigs. Oscar Tshiebwe of Kentucky, we all know how much he destroyed each game. He actually struggled, even in their big win the first time against the Vols when they shot like 60% plus. He didn't really play that well, so they shut him down, or contained him, I should say, better than any other team three times. So they have the defensive prowess and the shot making, and Josiah Jordan James, who's kind of that Swiss Army knife type player. So I have the Vols coming out of the South as my final four pick. It does scare me because Rick Barnes is not known for his decision making and ability to make it through March. He's had, you know, dating back to Texas, teams with Kevin Durant, that he just, you know, he faltered, and he's always had the talent. He's a master recruiter, but I am nervous about him making some sort of, you know, mistake, which sometimes happens for his teams, and bowing out. So there is that. But as far as talent goes, yeah, they can compete with anyone. I do like the Houston call there by Frank. I'm a little annoyed because there were prior to this, there were three kind of mid-major, low-major teams that I was really excited about and thought they had a chance to perhaps win a game. UAB was one of them. Longwood, the Lancers, who I really like,
yeah.
And Chattanooga. I'm a big Mox fan. I'm just was really excited to see how they played in their conference tournament, but they all three kind of got tough matchups. So Jelly Walker for UAB is one of those players that majority of people won't know, but after he drops, you know, 30-40 on Houston and perhaps, you know, pulls an upset, probably won't, but then that name will be known. I do like Houston. I do think Longwood, I would have preferred them to be like the 15 seed against Duke or something, because I think they would have had a better chance. They are facing the Vols in the first round. Longwood is a very good three-point shooting team, so they could smack Tennessee in the mouth to start and kind of set them back a little, but ultimately I don't think they have the defense to slow the Vols. I think Ohio State is kind of, you know, they're iffy right now. I think Loyola Chicago probably beats them. And then, yeah, the Chattanooga, the Mox versus Illinois. I Frank, you know, he's the man when it comes to betting. That's his forte. So he's picking them to cover. I think the Mox have the ability and the talent with Malachi Smith, who's a really good scorer, Jean Baptiste, who hit that buzzer beater in the conference tournament. And then they do have a Kansas transfer named Silvio D'Souza, who has a high pedigree. He was didn't play a ton for Kansas. He had some issues, but he's only 6'9", I think, but he plays a lot bigger, and he's a very tough kid. So it's not necessarily that Kofi's just going to run over them. He is capable of guarding him, but fouls, of course, are going to be an issue. So the Mox, it wouldn't shock me to see them beat Illinois. I don't know if I'm going to pick that just yet, you know, think with my head instead of my heart, but I do like that matchup for them. ultimately. And then you can never count out Villanova. You know, Jay Wright, Hall of Fame coach, anytime you bet against him, you're usually losing money if you do. Yeah. I think, you know, a potential matchup between him and the Vols is really nice on paper. But yeah, I think Arizona probably of the four number ones has the swiftest, you know, move to the Sweet 16. And then once it's the Sweet 16, I think that's where things start to get tough for them. And of course, Kirk Creasa, you know, he has a bum ankle, keeps posting pictures online about his progress, their point guard. If he doesn't play, you know, that's kind of tough for them.
Yeah, I see a lot of the, I guess, the CBS experts. I think a lot of them had Arizona, but I thought that this, I think this is a tough path. I mean, you just gave a pretty good case for a lot of teams. We didn't even really talk about Nova yesterday, all right? Like a team that we just kind of glossed over that could certainly get it done. I watched the show yesterday. You were giving a lot of love to your guy, Jelly, right? you were giving him some love. And I think currently, are you currently drafting a team right now of players like on SiriusXM? Is this happening right now?
Last year they had us actually on, but not this year. We're just doing on a Google Doc sheet, so I don't have to you know, worry about that. But yeah, I am picking right now. I'm definitely gonna be looking at him later.
This guy is super sharp. Like, he's giving me giving us all the inside scoop talking players while drafting a college basketball. This is just a straight draft. Like, what pick do you have?
This is a snake draft. It's a bunch of different, you know, college writers and stuff. And it's just a snake draft. So I had 7 out of like a 10 team draft. So I've, you know, obviously, you know, you want to take one seeds mostly, sure, or teams you think are going to go far, because the more games they get, the more points. And obviously Gonzaga, Kansas guys have all gone. I've kind of gone the path, Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler from Auburn. They both fell to me. So, I've got them, and I just took the guy we're talking about, Josiah Jordan James from Tennessee. So my team's pretty decent to start.
Yeah, good start. And it's sometimes like you have to, obviously, you know this from drafting and everybody else hanging out, big drafters, you know, you just kind of have to adjust. I remember doing one with Jake Seeley for the football draft on his show, All in Football, which you can catch on Game Plus. I wasn't thinking that I was going to like the Rams, and here they are. They won the Super Bowl, but I wasn't thinking that I was going to draft them, and I just like fell into like Kupp and Stafford. And then you just root for that team, right? So I guess you're going to be watching Auburn very closely here in this tournament. So, for sure. All right, we'll move on. We'll move on from the South team. You got the East. We can, we'll go in order from yesterday, which clearly I wasn't on the same page as you, but you're on the ball, so that's good. Baylor, number one. You got UNC here, 8. I believe they were the 8 last year too, last time in the tournament, and then I think they lost. I don't remember correctly. You can fill me in there. Texas, Virginia Tech. We talked about that a little bit. We've already kind of broken down a lot of this this region. You know, just, you know, chiming in with Murray State in there. Is Baylor? Do you have any concerns with Baylor? I feel like out of all the one seeds, maybe Kansas is the worst, but this is the one that I feel like I respect the man. I think that they're going to meet up with UCLA. I think maybe UCLA takes them down, but I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. So definitely, you know, they're a little bit more shorthanded than they were last year. The guard play for them is still strong. They got James Akinjo out there as a transfer. You know, they lost 3 guys to the NBA. Just the fact that they have so many injuries to key players, like one of their premier bigs off the bench, Everyday John, as we call him, he's out. LJ Cryer, one of their premier shooters, he's in defenders. He's, you know, in and out of the lineup right now. So there's a good possibility that they get gassed out a little bit and get pressed a little bit more. I think that second round matchup against UNC and Marquette isn't a guaranteed win for them. Both of those teams are capable of making shots and speeding the game up, which Baylor, you know, necessarily won't want to do with a shorthanded roster. So out of the four number one seeds, I do think that I see them falling first in that potential Sweet 16 matchup, whether it's UCLA or maybe even St. Mary's, who I think, you know, as a WCC team, they probably don't get enough respect, but they're a very, very good team, and they're a team that has beaten the Zags, so can't sleep on them.
That's right, yeah. Okay, so hang on, one more break, dude. We want to keep the balance of the show here. We'll wrap up with the other two regions and get a Final Four pick out of you as well before you get out of here. So I know this is your time to shine, right? I mean, you've been waiting. You and the guys have been waiting for the March Madness, so I do appreciate you. One more segment here with WW on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Continuing the March Madness talk here with Walter Waddell of FTN, the host of the Super Show, which you can catch. Go and watch the previous two episodes. Walter, will you be doing a couple more or just throughout the tournament?
Yeah. Pretty much every day that there'll be a slate, I'll be going on the night before to break down the DFS slate. And then Mike and I still have a bracket, you know, show that we're planning as well.
You guys are going to fill out a bracket live. I do believe Mike is going to join Mr. Jill Gallant a little bit later on as well. They're going to fill out a bracket, help you guys out there. So check out that show over at our FTN YouTube page as well. Let's continue to talk through some of these regions. Let's go with the West here. Tino, Zaga up at the top, of course, giving them a lot of love. Talked up UConn a little bit as a team that maybe could, you know, not really make a lot of noise, but maybe win a game or two. We talked about Alabama maybe against Rutgers and how you like that matchup for them if they do get by Notre Dame. But the question earlier that we did have, and keep them coming, Johnny Echo has another one here for you, but he did have a question earlier. Which team beats Duke? Which team, in your opinion, does beat Duke, or does anybody beat Duke?
So this, honestly, that's why I mentioned Longwood. I really wish they would have been the 15, because that would have been, you know, that prime. Every couple years, Duke drops to a 15 seed, but I don't think Fullerton's going to be the team to do it. And I think in the second round, they are capable of handling Davidson or Michigan State. I think the trouble comes for them in the Sweet 16 with a potential matchup looming against Texas Tech. Texas Tech's offense and shooting has been fairly brutal, but, you know, Beard went on to Texas, his heir apparent. Coach Adams took over and has done a phenomenal job. They have the defense, of course, and the guard play to pull off an upset over Duke and really make them uncomfortable. You know, Duke doesn't necessarily like, you know, playing in the ACC. They didn't have a lot of teams be physical with them, and that's exactly what Tech will do, and force those freshmen, you know, to make tough plays, which they're capable of course. But I think that's where the trouble begins for them, is in the Sweet 16. And if they escape that, I don't see them beating the Zags again. So that's where I think Duke starts to drop out. And then the rest of the I do have an upset here. I do want to mention nice. In this region, yes. For the West, Vermont as the 13 versus Arkansas, the 4. Now I know, you know, Frank, he had some talk about the matchups there for, you know, potential Arkansas versus Gonzaga, and definitely. But right now, Vermont is that type of team. They're very well coached. They always dominate their conference. They have veterans who have, you know, experience. They have the guard play. They have a kid named Ben Chungu, who's a very good, you know, point guard, can initiate the offense, shooting well over 40% from long range. They have a power forward by the name of Ryan Davis, who's capable of putting up, you know, triple-double-esque numbers, and they have a really solid bench that knows their role. That type of team that can hit shots, they defend well enough, and they could really give Arkansas some trouble. You know, Arkansas obviously going to be more athletic, but we've seen J.D. Note, who kind of went nuts last year, get into foul trouble. We've seen Jalen Williams in the SEC tournament. He got inexplicably benched by Eric Musselman, and it kind of had him holding his head down, and we're not sure what that was all about. The inconsistent play of their bench, the shot making that hasn't been there all the time for Arkansas. Just to me, it feels like a prime spot where a more disciplined, you know, Vermont team pulls the upset and people will be shocked. But I do think that one's going to happen. It's actually my favorite upset pick of this particular tournament and that region. So I feel pretty good about it. And think that there's going to be some noise there. And then I think Gonzaga has a tough second round matchup looming against the winner of Boise State Memphis, which I think it'll be Boise State. If they get past them, they're a really good defense, 1 through 5. They can make shots. They have a kid by the name of Mark Shaver. He's clutch. He's hit like 4 buzzer beaters this year. If they get past that, I think they waltz to the Final Four. So it's a kind of a tougher spot there, but I think they get there.
Write that one down, guys. Vermont, I got it written down here as well. Man, I really like Longwood in the story, but then they face Tennessee, right? Who I'm just a sucker for. Quickly, because we got to get you out of here, and I want to get your Final Four thoughts. We still got one more region. 17-point favorites. Could they cover that? Longwood, you said they could get off to a hot start. Maybe they start shooting the ball really well. That's a high spread for a team that's really in Longwood feeling themselves as well.
Oh yeah. They have, you know, they've got guys that transferred there. Isaiah Wilkins with high major ACC experience. They shoot the 3 well. They've got a couple guys that are shooting well over 40%. So yeah, they could get hot easily. I think they could cover that and put it to like a 10 to 12 point type of game. So I do like it for sure.
Okay, the final region, the Midwest, we got Kansas here. Frank said yesterday that Kansas, he didn't even think they should be a 1 seed. He thought they were the weakest 1 seed, but he loved the path for them that they could maybe get to the Final Four, and I do agree with that. We already gave a lot of love to Miami. I think Wisconsin is a team that could really go on a run. You got some Auburn players on your fantasy draft happening right now. But South Dakota State, right? This is the trendy pick. I believe they, 45% as a team from beyond the arc? Like, they can shoot the 3. Certainly, but a lot of people seem to be on them. Are you going the other way with Providence here?
Yeah, so this is a spot where I've had some time to really think. You know, when Mike and I did a show to start, and as the bracket was being revealed, and we pinpointed that as like, this is going to be the trendy upset pick. I would be shocked to see even like 25% of the public brackets on Providence. Wow. The issue I have here after digging in further, and because you have to get through the initial hype of it, South Dakota State's defense is really, really like beyond mediocre, borderline terrible. An amazing offense. They are, you know, they can make 45, 50% of their threes at any given time, even higher. They have all the pieces. They have star power. But you go through and you look at what they've done defensively. Washington Huskies, who are a pretty putrid offense this year, they gave up 87 to them. They lost to a very bad Idaho Vandals team. They gave up 98 to them. Prairie View A&M, which is a very bottom tier SWAC team, they gave up 90 to them. So I think people are overlooking the fact that the Friars, you know, are going to be facing a pretty bad defense. If you get a guy like Doug Wilson, who's the big down low for San Diego or South Dakota State, into foul trouble, I don't think they're going to have the size to, you know, defend a guy like Nate Watson. We have guys on the Providence side, you know, 6'7", 6'8", playing the two and the three, whereas we have guys at the five for South Dakota State that are 6'7". So there's a size discrepancy here. I think one way that we could play it, if we do think the Jackrabbits win, is they're trading threes for two. So every time Nate Watson or somebody gets an easy bucket down low, they come to the other side and they hit a three. So if they play it like that majority of the time, then yeah, I do believe the upset's there, but it's not a slam dunk. And if you're playing, right, you know, these giant bracket contests with, you know, everybody's going to be on South Dakota State, you pick Providence and they actually do hold serve and win, you've knocked out a ton of brackets behind you, or at least you've started off well enough to where they're chasing you the rest of the way.
Yeah. Good call. I don't like to go with the trendy upset pick, man. I just don't like it. I do like this South Dakota team. They were undefeated in their conference, right? 18-0, 20-0, I believe. Certainly, I mean, you just gave up a lot of good points. I mean, they can score the basket, but defense is a little suspect. All right, dude, we'll get you out of here on this. Tino, if you want, we got the futures board here. If you see any value here on the board, by all means, but I also want to get your final four, put you on the spot. I don't know if you have it locked in yet, but give us a final four, Walter. Who you got?
So as of last night, and I'm still kind of sitting there, I have Gonzaga and Kansas coming out. So 2-1 seeds there. I do think Tennessee comes out as a three. And then in the East is where it gets hairy. because I don't think Kentucky even gets past the Sweet 16. I am right now, it's going to seem silly, picking Virginia Tech as the 11th seed to the Final Four in the East. Obviously, they're going to have to remain hot. But when you look at their matchups throughout, you know, the Purdue and possibly a Murray State, and then getting, you know, even to St. Mary's, they have the personnel and they're super hot right now to be able to knock off these teams in the East. It's not finalized yet. I'm not totally done. But that's, if it started right now, that's where I'm at. Yeah.
I love it. I love it, dude. I'm here for that kind of stuff. Clearly, you guys just listening to Walter here over the past couple of segments, dude, knows what he's talking about. Frank yesterday, Kuchery in here tomorrow. We're going to continue the madness talk here on this show really all week over the next couple of weeks. But I encourage everybody to check out Walter on Twitter, DubDeuces85. Check out the College Basketball Super Show. These guys will help you out throughout the tournament with some DFS plays, some picks, straight up picks. I see Johnny Echo with a question there. We can address that maybe towards the end of the show, or Walter can jump in the chat and help him out there. But certainly we will get to that before tip off tonight. A question there about Vandy and the line dropping 2.5. Walter, appreciate it, dude. Good luck with your bracket. Good luck with the rest of the draft. And we'll hopefully we can chop it up again soon before the tournament is over. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Tino's in here next. We're going to take a look at everything happening in free agency in the NFL and the NBA or MLB. Keep her locked. Watching Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. It has been a wild show, I would imagine, for you to produce, me to host. I appreciate Walter checking in here. We got about 5 minutes or so. You know, you and I could chop it up with some MLB, some NFL signings. We've yet to really talk college basketball, you and I. Maybe we save that for tomorrow. We can get into some of that as well. Anything there from Walter? Are you feeling the Virginia Tech long shot pick? I'm all about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know he's not in the chat here, but shout out to Brandon Gilden as well. He was a guy who turned me on to Virginia Tech early in the season, said they were underperforming. I was able to get into them during the ACC tournament, cash a nice little futures on them, and rode them at 2.5-1 against Duke moneyline in the championship. And, of course, if you need any validation, Storm Murphy is just a Final Four kind of name. That's their point guard. You just get behind a guy like that, a nice little white point guard who can handle. Jay Billis was like, he's playing like Steve Nash. Coach of the Nets, I'm tied. My heart is sold. They're going to break my heart probably in the first round and lose to a tough matchup with Texas. if they get past Texas, I think they can make a run. I think that's going to be their toughest test because Texas is very good defensively. So
yeah, they are.
We will see.
We will see. Okay, a lot happening in Major League Baseball and NFL. Let's bring up the NFL board. This is Trubisky broke yesterday. Chase Edmonds broke yesterday. After we finished, Christian Kirk signed a massive $84 million deal in terms of bucks per year. He's number three on the wide receiver list. DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, and Christian Kirk. Over the last two seasons, as you see, they also signed Zay Jones and Evan Ingram. They have spent $117 million on Marvin Jones, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, and Evan Ingram. Yikes. I just think that's a major yikes. I mean, my goodness. I mean, Trevor Lawrence has got himself, I guess, some weapons, and Doug Peterson some weapons in the offense, but that's not how I would spend my bucks. And then you see CJ Uzuma left Cincinnati, goes to the Jets. JC Jackson, a big pickup for the Chargers. They continue to make some noise. Hassan Reddick, I think, was a big pickup for the Eagles as well. He's fourth in the NFL in sacks over the past couple of seasons. DJ Jones, a nice run stopper for Denver as well, making a lot of noise. And then this morning, DJ Chark to the Detroit Lions. What do you make of the Jacksonville Jaguars, man? Like, classic.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think people are like, oh, if you won the lottery, how would you spend your money? If I gave you $150 million, what would you do with it? I mean, there's got to be a lot of better ways than what they did with that money. I mean, come on, right? Like, everyone's chirping the Kirk thing, but like, and I know Zay Jones had some promise, but then you see Chark go to the Lions. Like, I get like that kind of decision, but like, Evan Ingram, but you go and get Dan Arnold last year, new regime, but like a lot of things just don't really add up. And like, I came on here and said, yeah, I could clown on Evan Ingram all I want. And I made the joke to you that, you know, Trevor Lawrence had the worst, you know, completion percentage of his career in his early years here ever with Evan Ingram as his quarterback. You know, his interceptions aren't going to get better with him, but also he does play the Giants next year. But yeah, I mean, I think they're the easy target. I do think some interesting things would be like Chase Edmonds to Miami. I know some people are doing victory laps on Twitter, but I didn't really see that coming. I think that's interesting. The offensive line is a big market right now. Obviously, some key names, are moving around, and we haven't really mentioned Brady. We've talked about free agency and a lot, and we were we've been hard on ourselves. Brady's, you're going to see the Bucs have to make a move now because, you know, Ali Marpet retired, and so they need to make sure they protect their 43-year-old or 44-year-old quarterback who just came out of retirement. So I think that's the big thing. The Giants made some low-key market moves in the offensive line, but the Jets were able to get Tomlinson over from San Francisco, who was a Pro Bowler. So right now I think the offensive line is taking way, and then I think you're going to start to see more receivers other than Christian Kirk, like the Allen Robinsons of the world, take over like Chark, and then probably maybe some more running back quarterback names. I think the skill positions is what I'm looking at. Like JC Jackson kind of stole the headlines too, but I think the skill positions will start to show up.
Yeah, and I think there's some reports, Stephon Gilmore to the Raiders as well. It just seems like the AFC West is just stockpiling players. I guess that's okay for you and I, who tend to root for teams in the NFC East. I like Chark to Detroit. I think he's a good player. I don't think it takes anything away from Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think, you know, Detroit, I don't know, man. They hung around last year so that they can continue to add through free agency. They may be a team, honestly, that's knocking on the door for like that seventh playoff spot. I know it's Detroit, but I wouldn't be shocked. I like the direction that they are headed. We'll say goodbye to you for now, Tino. Hopefully we do get a Freddie Freeman signing here soon. Tomorrow we'll talk some baseball as well. 11 games on the ice. I got a couple picks and some shot props to round out Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back in to Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Those hanging out live on the YouTube page, really do appreciate the patience here today with some of the technical difficulties. 11 games on the ice. I wanted to start here with some NHL shot props. Dangle Betselli is live for you guys to check out. We broke down all 11 games. Eric's got about 100 goal scorers, got some shot props, some assist props, some point props, and some winners as well. Hopefully some winners. You see Pierre-Luc Dubois there with the Mean Streets special. We'll be drinking great tonight if he gets three shots. Zach Hyman and Pierre-Luc Dubois for over 2.5 shots. TJ Oshie 1.5 and Sam Bennett for the bonus here. For Sam Bennett, he hasn't cleared. He's been at 2 shots in 3 straight games, but the Sharks have allowed the most shot attempts and the second most shots at 5 and 5 per 60 over the last 5 weeks of the season, according to Natural Stat Trick. So minus 144 for Sam Bennett, who was at 3.5 plus money for about 5 weeks in a row, has now dropped down to the 2.5 range. I like that price as a single. Maybe put him in a couple parlays. DJ Oshie there at 1.5 minus 145 at Caesars. I like this as a parlay or a single play as well. He's had at least 2 shots in 3 straight games, 8 total. I really like that second line in Washington. You know, Oshie missed a big chunk of the season, and so did Nicholas Backstrom, and so did Anthony Mantha, who you can get at PrizePicks at 2.5, who's got 3 shots in 3 straight, and hopefully a little bit later on today, we can find him at plus money. I also like him for an anytime goal, even though I do believe it will be Alex Ovechkin night for the Capitals here tonight, but 1.5 for Oshie is just a little low. Zach Hyman, minus 125 over at Caesars. This is one that I probably should have led with. You see it's there first on the board, but Hyman has 6 shots in back-to-back games. And at least 3 shots in 7 of his past 8. He's getting heavy, heavy minutes, a lot of ice time playing with Connor McDavid. Detroit has allowed the 4th most shots and the 8th most shot attempts at 5.5 per 60 over the last 5 weeks. That's from Natural Stat Trick. A whole lot more in our FTM bet tracker when it comes to shot props. I think Hintz is at a good price. Morgan Riley, maybe John Tavares without Austin Matthews, Nick Suzuki plus money. I don't mind going back to a guy like Brock Nelson. You know, Noah Dobson's been great on that blue line as well, plus money. But those are the 4 that I think are the strongest. And let's transition over to some of the picks. Yeah, so the Rangers in 60 here against the Anaheim Ducks. The Rangers return home after a 4-game road trip. They're 19-5-3 on home ice. The Ducks are 11-14-6 on the road, and they've lost 4 straight games. Igor Shesterkin's just been okay over the past couple games. I would imagine he bounces back. Only Detroit has allowed more goals at 5.5 per 60 than the Ducks over the last 5 weeks, so a really good spot. We got burned by the Panthers just against the Kings the other day. Had them to win in 60. They gave up a goal with 28 seconds left. I think they bounce back here against the Sharks, who are inside the top 3 in high danger chances, scoring chances, shot attempts, shots allowed, and expected goals at 5.5 per 60. So I think Florida bounces back here. It's a little parlay. You can go Rangers and Panthers. I like the Stars, plus 128. The Leafs can't stop a beach ball right now. Doesn't matter what goal you throw in, and no Austin Matthews here tonight. The Penguins, decent odds, even in Nashville against a Preds team, pretty good at home. And this Vegas team is struggling. They've lost 4 straight. I think 3 straight, actually. 3 wins in their last 10. Not getting any offense without Robin Leonard. Pacioretty doesn't look like he's going to be able to go. I like the Jets. They're cooking on offense here. So I'm going to continue to pick on the Vegas Golden Knights. Quickly, quick time on the way out. Goal scorers: Robertson, Caulfield, Ovechkin, Pasternak, and Zach Hyman. And plus money for assists when it comes to Pavelski, Backstrom. Pierre-Luc Dubois is plus 190 for an assist playing with Kyle Connor. And Patrice Bergeron is plus 150 for an apple up against the leaky Blackhawks. Good luck. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.